Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a new episode of the Partido a Partido podcast, where we talk everything a little. It's been a while since we recorded an episode, and that's due to some technical difficulties I am having, given I'm still a student and the rest, but hopefully we are here, and thank God we can now give you guys what you guys want. So, since we last recorded, there have been tragic news, and we have Korea's mom passing away due to cancer, and I myself and the guest on today's show, which is Emiliano, we offer our condolences to Korea and his family, and we know Korea's history with cancer and know his history with his health issues and how he battled that and survived that, and he has given his all for Aditi, and it must be tough for him. And it was a great gesture from Molina in the last game, dedicating his goal to his fellow Argentine national team player, which was great. And we also have the disaster which happened in Turkey, which was an earthquake, and the team played a friendly game midweek, and well, they lost, but that wasn't really important. It was the club doing a good gesture, that is trying to give charity, help those in need. It was good. So Emi, Aliti are back playing. Aliti played a midweek game, which was like a 4 hours flight to Turkey. That's 8 hours in the air for the players and back, for a great cause. And so many would have thought, hey, Aliti has a mid game and it's not the Champions League. Sorry, it was, like I said, a gesture. So, Emi, what's your opinion on the club playing a game for helping others? But looking at the sporting perspective, it was mid-season and Aliti are fighting for something. And we know that something is the second spot and is good from the club, but maybe at the wrong time.
Well, I think that, as you say, it was a good gesture from the club. It's a charity game for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey, so it was a good reason to play this game. But yes, from a sporting perspective, I don't know if it was the best decision. Probably it would have been better to play the game at the end of the season, or to find another solution. But I think that to play the game in Turkey, long trip, in the middle of the season, yes, we aren't playing Champions League, but if you told me we are playing Champions League, well, you are running the risk in a competitive game in which you are looking for a trophy or an objective. In this case, you risk the players. Now we got Savic injured and Lemar also having some physical difficulties for a game in which you didn't play for anything other than a good gesture, which is always nice. We know that the club, we all love this club because it has these kind of values, but we also have to understand the moment in the season we are in, that is probably the most important moment in order to end up securing our objectives. So we shouldn't have risked, in my opinion, the health of our players making such a long trip and playing a game in which I think also Besiktas took with a lot more intensity than we did.
Well, Emi, like you said, and I agree with you on that, on what you just said, wasn't really wise from a sporting perspective. So it was a midweek game, like I said, but it wasn't a Champions League game. It was for a good cause. So we have to dive into things and talk about Aliti. So we are going to talk about the last games. Aliti have won the last five games pretty well. Good performances. Did very well at tough grounds. Did win at Montelivi. Beat Valencia and Sevi comfortably. And those two teams have been Aliti's rival for years, even though this season both are fighting relegation. And then you have the Rayo game, which was really, really good performance, like Cholo said, from the first to the 17th minute. And after that, well, it's not Aliti if things come easy, because we kind of made things tough for ourselves. We missed a couple of chances. We were not clinical in front of goal. In the final third, we were not decisive. A lot of things. But looking at overall perspective, we got the win, 2 points behind rivals Real Madrid, who have other things to focus on, so that can play straight into us. So, Amy, over these 5 games and maybe talking about the Rayo game specifically, what are some of the things or the trends, tactics that you think Cholo has now been using consistently, because we have seen the overall performance of the team, and that's great because it, we're in, like you said, we're in a vital part of the season, which is towards the end of the season, and this is like a crucial moment, and be having this type of form at this moment is really, really key. So what are those things you think Cholo has tweaked, or maybe those things he has emphasized on or touched so that the team's performances have improved as they have?
Well, first of all, I think that we have to point out that in these last 5 games, the game before that was against Real Madrid, before these 5, was the game in which we lost such an important player as Reinildo. That also made us change the system. We got after Reinildo got injured, we had to move back to a line of 5. And with Hermoso sort of making more the kind of job Reinildo had. And I think since Hermoso moving into that role, he has even improved more, which has helped a lot the team on the ball in the build-up. I think also we started to see a better version until the injury during the international break from Memphis. I think we saw the best games from him in that game against Sevilla. He was fantastic. Although he missed some clear chances, I think that against Girona, he also had a very good performance, linking up very well with Griezmann. And I think what the team has improved the most on, I would say it was the defensive area of the team. We weren't conceding that many chances as we did before. I think since the World Cup, the approach from the team has got closer to the idea Simeone has always had, to be a very intense team, to manage well the counter-attacking parts, to be a very direct team on the ball. I think we have been doing this in the past games. Against Rayo, we saw, especially in the second half. In the first half, I think the performance, especially until our first goal, the goal from Molina, our performance was being a little bit rough. We were having issues to overpass Rayo's high pressing. They did that part of the game very well. I think the first minutes, Koke and De Paul looked very uncomfortable. Once we scored those 2 goals very fast, I think Koke started to assemble himself more in the game, to start to have more influence, and in that moment, our game improved completely. And in the second half, I think we managed very well the situation of waiting a little bit more in a low block and making the most out of our counter-attacks. Rayo looked very weak defensively in that sense. And we had the chances to not just score one, but to score one or to score 2 or 3 more goals. We didn't take the chances, so we ended up suffering a little bit once Garcia scored for Rayo. So overall, I think that of not having made the most out of our chances is something we have to work on, especially because soon we're going to play against Barcelona, that we saw already at the Metropolitano that the chances they have, they score them. So in order to be competitive against them, you need to score the ones you have. So that's something you have to look towards improving, or for the players to be more calm in that situation. But I think the team has been showing a lot of character, has been showing a lot of spirit, and I think we have improved a lot in the different phases of the game, in the build-up with this role of Hermoso turning into a left back in a line of 4 when we attack, with Carrasco and Llorente as wingers, and with Koke making the most out of the situation and getting the team to heights we probably haven't seen ever since we won the league.
Well, you just made some very, very good points. Like you mentioned, most of the players you mentioned are the players who have really had an optimal form. And something we are going to talk about later is emotion. We are going to talk about his role he's having in the team. But something I think it's been similar, even though we lost Renildo, has been the fact that, like you said, we have been solid defensively and we are defending more as a unit. And I don't want to keep on repeating this, but it looks like the team are like united. They are more close together. I think we can all remember when Hermoso went to protect this man from the fans. It was like the dressing room, the atmosphere around Aleti was toxic. But all of a sudden, after the January transfer window, things are really good and we are seeing it on the pitch. And that's really been fantastic. And you mentioned that we have improved in all phases of play. And that was really visible against Rayo because, like we talked about, we struggled in bypassing their high press earlier on in the game. But what was really fantastic was we have now Hermoso, which was like he was like the game solver. And each time the ball goes to him, obviously he's on the touchline. That's like a pressing trigger for Rayo to like cage him out. But you have him just sliding those passes, breaking their lines into Griezmann, which was great. And the goal that he scored was just fantastic. That's the counter-attacking play. That was brilliant. One of the best goals, counter-attacking goals I think I've ever seen. Even though the Rayo player like kind of had a touch on it, but the play was swift. It was incisive. It was really, really good. Emi, talking about maybe, like you said, there are some things Cholo has changed and we have improved so much. And Cholo made a comment by saying Koke is like one of the best tactical players we have. And I think we all La Liga fans can agree on that because the way his brain works is just magnificent. We want now like moving towards like the roles the players have had in this like new setup because we are having Koke playing like deeper like he did in the title winning season. And you have Cholo saying when Koke is, when his brain is thinking fast, when he's up for it, when he's good, the team plays well. And we all know that when Koke used to have like his spells of injuries and we know Aleti struggle and when he's deep in form, Aleti also struggle, but now he's back in form. I want to just ask you this. What do you think is like Koke's best role at the moment or where he's playing? Is he good? Or you think maybe he needs to be playing maybe alongside someone, like we said in the past, like Cholo also said, the journalist complained about the fact that he does not have legs.
Well, I think that in the role he's playing right now, he's performing really well. He is the player that I think that can adapt more to what the team needs in the pivot nowadays. Because Witsel, I think, gives his best playing as a sort of libero in a line of three, where he has more time to think and more time to move because he is a player that after the injuries he had, seems like he plays at a lower pace. So I don't see him with the physical capacities to play a whole game in a high-paced game. I see similar to what happened with Herrera, that when we saw him playing against teams that gave you this pace, was very important playing there as a pivot, but in games where the intensity is higher, he struggled. I think with Witsel it's sort of that, and with Kondogbia, personally, I think I have said it in episodes before here, he's in that player I like the most. I think that he's very inconsistent to play in a position in which consistency is the most important thing. Maybe it's better to always play a decent game than to play one game excellent and another game bad. That is the case with Kondogbia. He's always taking a lot of risks on the ball, and his positioning many times is lacking in order to give the team the defensive security needed. I think on the other hand, we have Koke, that as you said, maybe physically he can't cover all the space you want a pivot to cover. So you have to be, our center backs have to be very aggressive in order to compensate for that, so that there aren't many spaces around Koke's back that the other team can take advantage of. And I think How Jimenez has been playing lately, that has raised his level, and the version of Hermoso after World Cup is helping, that the main issues Koke could have playing as a pivot aren't seeing that much, and that the things that we can take advantage of Koke as a pivot, that is everything he does on the ball especially, is exploded to the maximum it can be exploded. So I think that is what has made the team a lot better on the ball and off the ball, because you have two aggressive centre backs taking care of Koke's back, and you have Koke in the build up that always finds the right pass to that the play is asking for. So I think that's what explains in a way how the team has improved in the last games.
Well, Emi, I think you are spot on there, and you just like said everything, because like one of the main tasks of a manager, one of the things managers try to achieve is to build a system that brings out the best of players and max their weaknesses. And that's what we have seen Cholo has done after the World Cup. And like you said, having aggressive and proactive center backs in Savich and Jose Maria is kind of helping Max Koke's weakness, which is legs, to cover ground. And because one of my fears in the Rayo game was, and I think in the first 15 minutes when the ball was like Rayos, they usually do their wide triangles where you have either they create space for an overlapping run and it cross into the box, or you have one of their wingers, which in this case was Fran, I think, making an underlapping run, and then a ball was played to him, but luckily Josema was there to cover it, and Koke was the one supposed to track that run. But that's just an example of how the system maxes Koke's weakness. And after, I think, if in the past five games, let's say I've won, if you watch, if you look at them, like the passing map, and you see it's like you have Koke in the middle and everything goes to him. And like you said, he adds a lot of value of what Aleti, of Aleti's possession. And that was, I think, maybe many Aleti fans can remember the game we played at home against Celta, and there was a goal, which I think the fourth goal, where he kind of like played a ping pong pass, like give pass to beat Celta to press. And when they press, he was able to break their line. So that just shows what Koke can do. So Koke is one of the players whose levels have improved after the World Cup. So Amy, another player who Cholo himself talked about the improvement was Molina. Even he himself says when he first came to the team, kind of struggled adapting to the system, because you know at Udinese you have him closer to the penalty area, hungry for goals, scoring goals. He was, because one of his best abilities is attacking space, but Aleti had to adjust. And we can all remember his first game where he wasn't so great and made a mistake that caused Aleti against Villarreal as well. So he has come a long way, and Cholo has really said, and that shows that fans have to be patient when a new signing comes, because it's like a new environment, especially in his case, a new country. But now he has adapted and everything seems to be going for him. And also, during the title winning season, we have that dynamics of Llorente and Trippier, which Trippier was at least right back at that time. But now we are seeing that his combination or his synergy with Llorente, it's quite good at the moment. And that's been positive for Aleti and also for both of them, because we are seeing the best version of Molina. So do you think, because Molina is quite young, do you think his game can evolve further and he can give more to the team from what you have seen his development? Because there are certain things I have seen him doing, like in a game against Club Brugge in the Champions League, trying to thread those passes, those eye in the needle passes from deeper areas, which is something we saw with Trippier.
First of all, I think that with Molina, the main issue before the World Cup was the lack of confidence he had. He found himself, although Molina developed at Boca Academy, he hadn't had the situation in which he got to play regularly for Boca's first team, so he had to go on loan to Defensa y Justicia, a smaller club. Then he made the jump to a mid-table club like Udinese in Italy, and he found himself in the situation for the first time of playing at a big club. Although he already had the experience of playing for a national team at which there is a lot of pressure, like the Argentine national team, I think that situation of finding himself at a bigger and more exigent club with having a bad first game, and all the criticism he received for that, I think that he struggled a bit to find confidence. With the World Cup, after having, especially I think, after the group stage, in the knockout stages, quite good performances, scoring even important goals like he did against Netherlands, I think, and being a world champion with all that implies, I think that all that gave him the confidence he was lacking, and I think Simeone has done great in some aspects of improving his game. I think defensively he has improved since he arrived. And then what you say on the ball, he's giving more that sort of Trippier-esque passes that make Llorente so important in the season in which we won the league. And I think Molina improving and giving more of that game department of the passing, of those deep passes to break lines, also made Llorente's version after the World Cup improve a lot. Because in the first half of the season, we saw a very underwhelming Llorente besides a few games like, I don't know, I think it was Sevilla away, and not much more. He was playing really bad. I think that since the World Cup, Molina's improvement has also helped Llorente find a version, not as decisive as it was during the league season, but a closer version to that. A player that arrives more to game-defining situations, that is able to reach more the closer to the goal line to cross, and can create more danger attacking spaces with Molina's assists. I think that all that made Atleti a lot more dangerous in the right side, which is also compensating for how underwhelming it has been in the left side because of how poor Carrasco has been recently.
Well, yes, like you said, Carrasco has really been underperforming on the left, because Atleti's right side, you have quick and direct attack. That's why Atleti generate the most chances for man. Most teams are wary of that, so they always try to block that by having numerical superiority, that's having more men on that side. And that always leaves the other side, which you now have Carrasco, which he provides the width, and that is being created for him because Cholo believes in his qualitative superiority, because Carrasco is a very good dribbler. He's very good in 1v1 situation, but him underperforming is kind of letting the team down, because it kind of make a little predictable at times, because the right-hand side has been blocked, and when we create now a 1v1 on the left, we cannot capitalize on that because of Carrasco's poor form. But he's been improving as the season has progressed, but he's still far from his best, because we know what Carrasco can do, but he's not yet there, and we are all hoping for that Carrasco we saw in the title winning season, that Carrasco you saw in the Champions League winning final. So hopefully things can get better for Carrasco. I'm back to Llorente Molina partnership. When we signed Molina, I was very, very excited, because we kind of finally have a right back now. We have Trippier replacement. But then when I get to know the guy more, I discovered that he has similar characteristics with Llorente, which is attacking space, that player who arrives. But now, seeing how things have developed and how Cholo has molded him, I'm very, very happy for him, because his characteristics now, like you said, he's now gaining confidence, which is great. And like you mentioned, the World Cup, it was not really great in the group stages, but after the group stages, it became very vital. And that's something Cholo also mentioned, that in the first part of the season, he lacked inconsistency due to him lacking confidence in himself. And he seems to have gotten that now and known his teammate better, and his partnership with Llorente can only get better from there. So, Amy, another player who has improved is Oblak. Because we have talked about Llorente benefiting from Molina's improvement, and now you have Oblak. It's true that Savic and Josema have been there, and the defense is now steady. We are now seeing Oblak like getting there, because I believe this version of Oblak is good, but we know what Oblak can do, because in the tightest winning season, he was making miracles. So, is it only due to the fact that the defense is now steady and the team are defending well that Oblak's levels have improved, or maybe he's gotten his head now back into the game?
Well, I think in the case of Oblak, was never a matter of having his mind out of the game. I think he has always been a quite professional player and a player that has always seemed to give his best for the club. But I think when things start to go on wrong, and they continuously are going wrong, you start to lose your confidence. And confidence is very important for a goalkeeper. So I think Oblak's confidence has grown in the last couple of games with the team improving defensively. As you start to improve defensively, you concede less chances, you have more clean sheets, and that starts to grow Oblak's confidence. And that growth in his confidence starts to show us his best version. Well, I wouldn't say his best version, because he has been better than what he has been now, but we start to see more the Oblak we have always known, a goalkeeper that is a keeper capable of making miracle saves, a goalkeeper that, although isn't the kind of goalkeeper that will take a lot of risks trying to cut crosses and all that, he starts to do all that a little bit more when he's confident. And we start to see a goalkeeper that leads the back line. I think that we have seen recently a version of Oblak that is more of a leader, that organizes more the back line. I think that when he was more doubtful in his confidence, he wasn't doing that so much either. So I think confidence was what boosted so much Oblak's level after the World Cup.
Well, hopefully Oblak can keep that form right up to the end of the season, because it will be needed for Atleti if they want to clinch second spot. And like we just mentioned, the form of that of Josema and Savic have improved as well, and that's great for the team. So moving on, Amy, there's one player who we mentioned that his form has improved, and that's Hermoso. But it's not good down to him, because we wanted to talk more detailed about what he does for the team, what has changed. And I think some weeks ago there was an article on Mundo Deportivo, if I'm not mistaken, which talked about the conversation Cholo had with Hermoso, because Cholo values what he brought to the title-winning season, and Cholo knows that he is Atleti's best ball-playing centre-back. With the ball, Hermoso is a very good player, and we are seeing that now. Like, he was able to help Atleti bypass Rayo's press on several occasions, and that's the Hermoso we know. And Cholo was like, Mario, we know what you can do, and we know how good you are with the ball, but you kind of lose your cool fast, because you know him also, when things are not going for him, he kind of loses his cool, he becomes rash, takes silly yellow cards. But we have seen that it's now changed, and though he's not at the level of being like, let's say, a defender as good as Savic, but his defending has improved, which is great overall for the team, because I think the weakest side of Atleti's defense is the left side, because you have Carrasco, Hermoso, and Depol there, and that was all Rayo targeted in the game. But hopefully Josema was there to come across and cover things for Atleti, which was fantastic. So you also have him now being confident enough to be a leader when Atleti have the ball. You have him demanding the ball, doing things that are really, really what a modern defender do, and that is fantastic. So can you please tell us more on how his role has changed within the team, and how that has impacted the team and also his form?
Well, I think, as you say, the importance Hermoso has for the team is mainly due to his ball-playing skills. I think especially that when you are playing with three centre-backs, you at least need one that can do what Hermoso does. And when you don't have that, it's very missed in the build-up, because basically you are creating a superiority you ain't making you ain't really taking an advantage of in that first build-up phase, unless you have a player that can do what Hermoso does on the ball, that is changing the direction of the game with a lot of the action with a long ball, breaking lines. Even in his ball carrying skills, I think he's above Savic and Jimenez and, of course, Reinildo. So I think in that sense, he has added a lot to our build-up. And as you say, he's looking cooler than what he was looking before. We have always known Hermoso for being a very... a player that gets upset, annoyed, and can in any moment leave you with a player down, because maybe in a moment of the game in which I remember, for example, against Real Madrid in the first derby of the season at home, when we scored, actually he was the one that scored. We also have to say that Hermoso has always been a player that scores important goals. But in the moment in which we were starting to push Madrid, he got into a fight with Carvajal and got sent off. So he's the kind of player that could do that. Now he's looking cooler, not just on the ball, but also in terms of his behavior on the pitch, which is always something we all got scared of every time he started. And I think we have been seeing a version of Hermoso we haven't seen probably since the first 5 or 6 months of the season we won the league, in which he was also very important in a similar role also to the one he's having now, because in that season we would also see that when attacking, Hermoso would many times play as a left back in a line of four with Trippier, Savic and Jimenez. And when defending, yes, he covers that left center back position. So I think getting back into that role, into that situation in which you can get the best out of him, because then, as you say, defensively, although he has been great or good, more than great, because I wouldn't say he has been that great defensively, I think that in that role, we are being able to get the best out of him. And I think that's the main merit of Simeone in the last months. But I think, although this squad isn't perfect, although this squad has a lot of things that they should correct during the summer window, I think that he has built a context for players like Hermoso to perform closer to their best possible form.
Well, like, that's great for Cholo, and we all know the type of manager Cholo is. He's the type of manager who can build a wall out of a brick, and that's what he's doing at the moment, because, like you said, the squad has a lot of weaknesses, but he has been able to build a team or come up with a strategy that's able to max those weaknesses. And like you said, it involves playing him also in a back three, offering him more protection, speaking to him, playing Koke in front of two aggressive defenders to cover his weaknesses of legs. We also have a lot of things which he has done, like, for example, playing Depol. Like, he does not have to face a lot of 1v1s. Like, I think the last, when Atleti were playing, Carrasco on the left doesn't have to face a lot of 1v1s, because you have Depol, the left-sided midfielder, coming to help him defend. So that's been fantastic on Trudeau's part, and hopefully things continue. And like you said, Hermoso is a great defender. 3 goals this season in 14 games is not bad, but you have that with 2 records, which came at crucial moment in the game, like you mentioned, the derby. But that's the most of the past, and now we can enjoy Super Mario of the present. So moving on, Amy, Atleti signed Memphis in January. I invited a guest, and he came and he talked about. We talked about him, and my view of what Memphis could offer was how can I say? I would say different, because of what Simeone mentioned. He mentioned that Memphis reminds me of Costa, and what came to my brain, trying to think about the similarities, and that was about Memphis's back-to-goal game, because it's fantastic and it's one of the best in the world. And we have, when he first came to La Liga, I'm going to mention this again, he had Inigo Martinez, one of the best defenders in the league, and he just punted him off, which was great, and he scored a fantastic goal from a tight angle. So, Emi, what do you think the impact Memphis has had? Because Cholo has introduced him to the team gradually, and we have seen him gone from one stage to another, improving in his physicality and also able to improve certain things. And we have seen him kind of have this good associative play with the players, like linking up with them. But then all of a sudden, despite it was good, and we have the game against, I think, Valencia, where Aleti played really well, but he missed a lot of chances, and he himself was angry himself, but he played well. So he was doing well, and then all of a sudden, he goes for the international break and coming back, and he is injured. So what do you think the impact he has had on the team, and how does that affect Morata? Because Morata has been decent all season.
Well, first of all, I think that what we have to point out of Memphis that has been very important for what he has given to the team, in my opinion, is that since the first day he got the chance, he got the offer from the club, he always showed how much he wanted to be here. And I think that was very important in the sense of making the team show the passion they have showed recently. I think, I don't know which player it was that recently talked about how the players that are now at the team are the ones that want to be at the club. And I think Memphis also transmitted that spirit towards the team. And I then think, at first he arrived in a bad shape. He himself said that at Barca he wasn't getting the sort of training he needed in order to be in his best shape. At Atleti, it seems like they have changed that. And I think since the first day, what he added was a great link-up play. We all know about his capacities not to pivot. He understands himself very well with Griezmann. I think they always know what the other is going to do. So none of the two is a target man or a player that will fix defenders. And when you play with both of them, it's more like you are not giving a reference to mark to the center backs. So they change positions and they understand when the other one is going to move towards that position to attack the other one, to carry the defender out of position and attack the whole left in the defense, as it happened, for example, against Athletic Bilbao, that when Memphis came on, there was that situation in which Griezmann scored, in which Memphis carried very well. I think it was the mark of Danny Vivian, and that created the space for Griezmann to attack that hole there was in the defense, in which Memphis also pivoted very well to leave Griezmann in a position in which he was comfortable to finish, and that's how the goal came. And I think that Memphis is going to give us that compared to Morata. Morata is more a player that will have less involvement outside of the box in the link-up play, in the capacity to change positions with Griezmann. And I think he will add less in that sense, so will depend also in what you're looking for each game. So I think none of the two is way above the level of each other, so they are always going to be competing for the spot in the starting 11, which is great for the team. I think Morata also, we have seen him recently coming better from the bench than starting, so also the possibility of having Morata in the bench and to come on in the last 25-30 minutes is another offensive weapon the team has with the arrival of Memphis. And I think that we still haven't seen the best version of Memphis. I think that we are going to see an even better version of himself next season, because, well, now he had this injury. When he arrived was a little bit of shape, then he got into a better shape, but I still think he hasn't got into his best shape. So with that pre-season with Prof. Ortega at the club, I think he's gonna find the version we all saw at Lyon. That was a very explosive player that could be dangerous in the one-on-one, that has a great link-up play, that can pivot, that understands very well himself with Griezmann, which is also very important for the team because Griezmann is our offensive leader and reference. So to have a player that understands himself so well with Griezmann is always going to be important for the team. And I think looking farther to the future, to have got a player of Memphis quality and capacities for such a small price tag was a very good business for the club. And probably we're going to find a better striker than him that is affordable according to the financial limits the club has.
Well, Amy, like you just said, Barcelona, like they are like they like giving to Atleti. You know, they are like Santa Claus when it comes to Atleti. They like giving off. They gave us Villa, they gave us Suarez, and now they have given us Memphis. Well, hopefully they will not give us Lewandowski, but they can give us Pedri. That's just me dreaming. Okay, back to the point. You talked about Memphis. You talked about we are going to see the best version of himself, and that's something Cholo has said. Cholo said that's what he discussed with him, that he liked that version of Memphis at Lyon. Because he was the reference point, and like you said, the one of the best things I think Memphis has, especially when he left United, is discovering the type of player he is and playing to his strengths. And I was chatting with someone on Twitter, and he was like, he's fully following Memphis' case because it's interesting. Because at Lyon, best game because he was the reference point. Everything goes through him. But at Atleti, it's not the same. And I found that really great because I think an aspect of Memphis game which I've seen just like trying to develop over those few games he has played is the fact that he has realized that he's not going to be the reference point, even though he can interchange with Griezmann at them and they can link up for the benefit of the team. But is that those off the ball runs? And I think in the game against Valencia, there was a moment where he kind of made that run and Hermoso picked him out and was like, yeah, this reminded me of the title winning season when Hermoso was able to pick out Suarez is running behind the defense, and it was great. Like you said, he is a very quality player. What he brings to the team, especially for the fee we bought for him. Oh, Barcelona, Football Club Barcelona. Well, when it comes to dealing with them, I think I like them. It's very great. And like you said, for that fee, we cannot find a striker that is of his quality or who can give that thing, because Memphis has so many good qualities. Like you said, he can pivot, he can pin center, but good back to goal game. He's very good at linking up, very good in tight spaces, associative play. He's also good from the penalty spot, and we know Atleti's history of penalties, and that now brings me to the point, Amy. Atleti are without a penalty this season, despite all the numerous amount of penalties we have seen this season in La Liga, the red cards here and there. Why do you think Atleti, or in your opinion, what is the reason why Atleti has not had a penalty? Because there have been some good calls.
Well, it's hard to find another reason other than thinking there is something against us or in the federation or in the league, because to be honest, we are one of the teams that creates more offensively. I have seen many fans from other clubs say it is because we don't attack that we don't get penalties, which is clearly wrong and can be proved by stats. With just stats backing it, you know that Atleti is one of the teams that attacks the most in the league. And I don't find a reason, a logical reason, for which there isn't anything other than they don't like us or something. Because I remember against Betis, a possible pen against Morata that in a lot of games they have given. In this case, it wasn't given. I remember another pen on Morata that was very clear against Getafe. I don't know what had to happen to get that pen, because Geneda Konam grabbed Morata like, I don't know, as if he was a sort of garbage bag, you know. So I don't know why that wasn't called a pen. And then there were many more situations during the season that deserved getting called a pen. So yeah, personally, the thought I have is they must not like us, or there must be an interest behind Atleti not doing well, because it is impossible to explain any other reason that could be logical for which we ain't getting the bench every other team in the league has been getting.
Well, like you said, it's really hard to pinpoint, except for the reason you have been, because I cannot believe there have been 90 penalties in this season, and Aleti, who don't only have the third best attack in the league, but are also in the top five of teams of touches in the penalty area, is quite of hard to pinpoint exactly where, because like you said, there have been so many calls, especially that against Getafe, which was clear, and those are the ones after the World Cup, and before the World Cup, there are so many more. So, like you said, it's hard to pinpoint, and we all know Aleti Gil has been very vocal on the Federation about refereeing, and he has even proposed a new something to the Federation, which is like, before the games, let the refereeing for the match be like make public the day of the game. So I think that is very good, because he said it's going to reduce a lot of pressure on the referee, and that's true. But we also know there may be other things, like, for example, we know about his bribery scandal of Barcelona, which is not yet conclusive, but it's still going on. So there are a lot of things in which he can solve, and we know Aleti have been very vocal against the Federation, and we know fans will say they make this statement that it's always it's us against them, that means the world against us, but we know that's not been the case, because we have seen penalties given for less. Because, for example, I think in Villarreal game, they had a penalty where the player's hand was the supporting hand on the floor, and the penalty was given. But so it's like you see penalties given for lesser things, and then you see other penalties. I don't want to call the referee's name, because I don't want to be the person who like promotes hate, but a referee refuses a game, he has given this, and then he refuses this one, he doesn't give this, which is exactly similar, which is not exactly, but similar, and he refuses the next game and he gives again. It shows the inconsistency of penalties in La Liga, of refereeing in La Liga, and then there's also a lot of noise about the red cards in La Liga, because you have La Liga is the league with the highest amount of red cards. That's over 100 red cards in La Liga alone this season, and if you want to compare to the others, it's quite minimal, because you have La Liga with 112 red cards, and you have maybe like, say, you have Ligue 1 closely behind them with 81, and then you have the Prem and others, like, for example, the Premier has 84 fewer red cards than La Liga, so that says a lot. But actually, I made a study, or there's a refereeing account, Mr. Subio, who posted that it's true that there's a lot of red cards in La Liga, and which is maybe mostly down to those quick yellows, because La Liga Spanish referees are very card happy. But compared to the Premier League, the amount of injuries in the Premier League are smaller to that of. Sorry, the amount of injuries in La Liga are smaller to that of the Premier League. And not just injuries, but also the amount of money clubs have spent is on injuries is more than what La Liga clubs have spent. And also talking about severe injuries like season-defining injuries, since injuries for 6 months or 12 months, it has been very severe in the Premier League. We know they always talk about a physical game, but this is painting the picture that, yes, the referees are protecting the player, but we all know that there are some red cards, especially for yellow cards, that La Liga referees give without consideration, because it's like they don't referee the game as humans, because in my opinion, they referee like robots. Because if La Liga referees are referee like that, therefore, I would just say, let them just allow robots, because robots will just be blowing for everything and giving the cards for everything, and maybe half a game end 7-7 and the rest. But La Liga referees, well, I for one thing, they have been improving. Like in the game, Real Madrid Villarreal, the referees did a very fine job, when to play the advantage, when to break up the play, when to cut the player and the rest. So I think they are good referees in La Liga, but there's a lot of inconsistency, and it's up to the Federation to take charge of this. But we know how Spanish football is. It's a lot of things going behind the scenes that we don't know, and I don't want to speculate only on the podcast, but we know that Spanish football, there's a lot of bad history of corruption and the rest, and because those referees deserve to be punished. So, I mean, enough of Spanish referees, because we all know there are a lot of them who always refere badly against when in Atletico's games. We have now to go to the next, which is talking about the player of La Liga of the month of March, Antoine Griezmann. His new role in Atleti has been fantastic, and we are seeing a Griezmann who is affecting all areas of play. He aids in progression, aids in build up at times, creates chances in the final third. He's now scoring, which is fantastic, because that was one of the issues before the World Cup. He had the chances, but he was not putting the ball at the back of the net. And now we also have that Griezmann, who is a workaholic, who does a lot for the team. I think the game against in Sevilla, I think he played almost everywhere, where he played as a left wing back, midfielder, an attacker. So, Amy, what's your opinion on Griezmann's resurgence? And do you think this new role is good for him at this age of his career?
Well, I think that you pointed out how he has been everywhere. I think that has always been the case with him in the recent years. He's a very smart player, so Simeone gives him the freedom to move as he wants. He hasn't done any that with any other player. That says a lot. A very, let's say, strict in terms of tactics manager like Simeone, giving him the absolute freedom to do what he thinks he has to do, to move whatever he thinks he has to. That talks about how highly Simeone considers his football IQ. And I think that he's the player that is everywhere, that his teammates are always looking for, because they know that when he touches the ball, he's going to improve the possibilities Atleti will have to make it somewhere offensively or in the build-up. I think that he is a player that has, especially when I was able to see him live recently when I went to Metropolitano to watch against Betis, I had the feeling that he's a player that plays in another, let's say, pace. I felt that with very few players. Like, he is different from the rest. Like, he understands football to a speed no one else or very few else do. And I think that the more we can give him the ball, the more we will have chances to win. I think this role fits him perfectly. I think that it's great he has got back to scoring goals, but I think that even if he doesn't, he's still going to be the most important player in the team, because what he adds is much more than goals. Many are talking about, well, he hasn't scored that many goals as he did in 2015, 2016. But in my opinion, this version of himself is probably the best one I have seen in his career. I think that he is dominating every department in the game, as I haven't seen any player do it at this club.
Well, Amy, I agree on you on that 100%. Like you said, he is the key player for Atleti, and he's dominating everywhere on the game. And I think what you just said was backed by Cholo, that he will tell, this is what Cholo said, it's not my words. He says, I will tell him to like be in this area of the pitch so that we can find you there easily, and then we can then create a chance to score a goal. But now Cholo said, no, that's not this man. He moves around the pitch because he reads the game. He interprets the game, like you said, like no other, like few does. So he's, like you said, his IQ, his level of understanding football is very, very high. It's sad that he does not really consider management after playing football, because he wants to be an agent and the rest. But like you said, he's a very special player. And we are seeing that, because what I'm about to say now is no offense to João Félix. Very good player who is still young and his career is still ahead of him. But Griezmann is kind of having, I think, a similar freedom Félix had to the title winning season. But now with Griezmann, we have a player whose decision making is on another level as compared to that of Félix, whose execution is on another level as compared to that of Félix, whose consistency is on another level as compared to that of Félix. No offense to Félix. I know he's still developing and he's still a young player. But now, like I tweeted some while ago and I got a little bit of criticism for it, what Griezmann has at the team, Félix wants that. But the thing is, Félix cannot have that because he is not at the level of Griezmann. The way they interpret the game, the way they execute the action. And from my opinion, Griezmann earns that because of what he does without the ball, and Felix doesn't kind of do that very well. Like you said, I'm happy he's back at Atleti. To be honest, I was really skeptical of him coming back. I was one of those who were saying, well, we have Felix, this guy is the face of the club, we have Correa, we have players, and we don't need Griezmann very well. He won the fans back because I was really hurt by what conspired for before his move to Barcelona, but he won us back, and he's showing like he wants to be here. Like you talked about a player that was him also talking about that, the fact that the players who are here are the players who want to be here, and that's like shot fire to some people who left in January, and Simeone said something similar. And like I said, it's like everything surrounding Atleti at the moment is so good. The atmosphere in the dressing room, the vibe the thing gives you is very good. To be honest, I watched the Rayo game and I was really happy because it's like you see a group of friends playing together on the pitch. Let me use Cholo's words. So the last thing we talk on before we go is second spot. Emi, Atleti are 2 points behind rivals Real Madrid and who are in the final of the Copa del Rey and are also focusing on the Champions League. We know in the Champions League they are a different beast, they are a different animal, but in La Liga is something else. So Emi, do you think Atleti can finish ahead of Real Madrid? Because I think it's a possibility given Atleti's fixtures towards the end of the season. I think the fixtures are very favorable. We have home games to Mallorca, home games to Almeria, which is very nice. And I think the only red flag maybe on Atleti's game is that of Barcelona, which I think we can beat them comfortably. But as for Real Madrid, it's not that easy because they have tough teams to play towards the end of the season. So how do you see finishing second important for Atleti, and can Atleti do that?
Well, as you say, I think we will have our shot because Madrid is going to be focusing on the Champions League. They also have the Copa del Rey final, and they have a tougher fixture than us. And also, they don't have such a big squad. They don't have that much depth. For example, if they are missing Benzema, they don't have another nine of a quality, you can say, that, I don't know, the case of Mariano, for example, that is a player that you don't, when you see him starting, you don't expect him to make a huge difference. So they have two or three players offensively that make a great difference. Maybe they have some sort of depth defensively, as they have a player like Nacho that can perform anywhere in the defense. And then you have some aging players, like the case of Benzema, like the case of Modric, like the case of Kroos. So they got a very short squad in order to face all three competitions. So I think that they are going to start rotating in the league because they are already very far from Barcelona. So they are going to focus in this Copa del Rey final, and they are going to focus in the Champions League. That I personally think that they are going to get at least to the semi-final. So they will have at least three more games there too. So I think that we have our shot because we are playing great. We are only in one competition, so the depth won't be an issue. I think physically the squad is looking very sharp. And I personally believe that if we keep on playing like we have played in the last 5-6 games, I personally think that we're going to make it to the second place. And it's always important, not just because of the money, it gives you a boost in the revenues from the TV money to finish second instead of third, but also in terms of building the confidence of the team for next season, and always feels great to finish above your rivals. It hasn't been that many seasons in history we have finished above Madrid, so it's always something that should be considered an achievement.
Like you said, it's always great to finish above your rival. And another thing many, I think, non-La Liga fans or Spanish fans don't understand is finishing above Real is very, it's like, let me not say, it's very boosting of morale and also very good, because I think in Spain, we all know the big two, Real, Barcelona, and Atleti are now in the big three. But you can see when teams play against Madrid and when they beat them, you get that enthusiasm. They are so happy because they know how tough it is to beat those guys, right? Because we know how wealthy they are and the rest. I know some will listen and say, ah, that guy is playing the wealthy game, but we know Atleti is not as rich as Real Madrid. And another benefit from finishing second will also be having a favorable Champions League draw. That means the pot you can be in and the rest, which will be great. So, Amy, I talked about Real Madrid having a tough run of fixtures at the end of the season, and to be honest, it's very, very tough because they are playing teams who are really fighting for things, because you have them finishing the season against Athletic, who will obviously be fighting for a place in Europe, given that they are no more in the Copa del Rey. You have them playing against Sevilla, and we know Sevilla in the relegation battle. We have them playing against Valencia also in the relegation battle, and then you have them playing against Real Sociedad, who are also fighting for a place in the top four, or you qualify for Europe next season. So it's really, really tough for them. And to be honest, like you said, them focusing on the Champions League implies they are going to obviously drop points because they don't have a very tough squad. An injury to, let's say, you talk about Benzema, even Vinicius could be very bad for that season. I'm not praying for that. Hopefully they stay fit. But injury for those key players will not be good for them, because we all know how they work. Courtois saves, Vinicius creates, Benzema scores, and that's what has been happening recently. So it's not easy. We are going to fight, and hopefully we can finish second. I know I said the last thing, but well, I mean, this is going to be the last for sure. How do you see the academy at this moment? Because I, for one, having like a gospel speaking like a gospel, I believe that the academy is at its all-time best, and with better management, I believe we can see so many players in the first team in the next 4 to 5 years. So how do you see the academy, and how do you see the players coming up, and who are the players you think can make it to the first team in the next 4 to 5 years? If we know it's difficult to predict development of player, we have seen in Molejo, but who are those you think have a good shot at making it if they continue in the road they are taking?
Well, I don't consider myself to be an specialist on the academy. I have been able to watch some Atleti B games this season and to watch Juvenil A in the youth league. So that's based on what I can judge and can give an opinion. I don't know if I would say this one is the all-time best moment of the academy. I think that's very debatable. We have had moments with great players. We have even had the B team playing in Segunda for many years, so it's very debatable. But I just think there is a good generation of players. You can see it by how many academy players are being called by the youth national teams. And I think that if I had to mention a couple of players that I think that are going to have the chance to make it to the first team in the next couple of years, I would say Aitor Gismera, defensive midfielder that has played in the youth league and for the B team. My opinion is a very interesting player. I think he might have a shot, even more considering that the club ain't making any big investments in that position. It seems like they are always trying to cover it with some experienced player. So I think in the mid-term, let's say 2 or 3 years, he could have the chance to take that spot. I then think we have two very interesting forwards in Adrián Niño and Rargani from the Juvenil A. And there are a couple of players in the defense, I think, that could also have a chance, like Kostis, that has also played for Juvenil A in the youth league and has recently been starting a lot for the B team. And then Javier Boñar is still younger, but I think in the future maybe could have a shot. He can play right center back in a line of three, which is a system Simeone has used a lot in recent years. He can also play in a back four as a right back. He's a player that has great skills on the ball, although I think he has to work a little bit more on his positioning. And then I would also mention that maybe Iturbe could have a chance once Oblak isn't here anymore, hopefully it will be for many more years, but we never know how longer he will stay. And I think maybe in 3 or 4 years, Iturbe would be ready to take the goalkeeper spot at the club.
Well, you mentioned some really good names there, and one of my favorite is Mera, and I've been working a little like a tread on him, and well, I think he can as well make it to the first team, given what he offers. And I can recall last season's U League, the way he kind of went under the radar, playing next to the guy who just made it to the first team. Man. Well, playing next to Barrios, yes, finally. But he's really, really good. Good skill, and I think he can make it. And Javi Bonet is another one I have high hopes on, and hopefully the club can come out with a strategy or a model to kind of integrate these players into the first team, because we know it's not easy for the players and also for the club, given this what the club fights for, Champions League and playing in La Liga to win La Liga. So it's not easy for them to have maybe game times, but one never knows, and hopefully they can be incorporated into the first team. So Amy, it's been great chatting with you on this show, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks to you. It's always a pleasure to be here and to be a part of this podcast. I always enjoy listening to. I would like to also apologize for my English if it is an issue for any of the people listening to this. I haven't been practicing in quite a while, so I didn't feel so comfortable expressing myself in English, but I did my best to make myself understood, so hopefully it was right.
Well, I think the listeners are going to really, really understand your English, because, well, for a native Spanish speaker, your English is very good. So I think they are going to understand well. On the other hand, mine has improved, and I can see I'm speaking so well. So I think your English is perfect as compared to my Spanish. So basically, some of the only words I may know in Spanish is Nunca dejas de creer. Very well, you can express yourself in English very well. So looking forward to have you on future episodes, because you're very knowledgeable guy, and not just about a little bit, about football as well. And it's also been great for what you have contributed to the podcast by always being available for an episode. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks to you.
Also, thank you, dear listeners. And remember, Nunca deja de creer, never stop believing. See you next time.